Based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey folks, welcome to Based on a True Scary. It is I, Trisha. I'm here with Jake. I'm actually not here with Jake. Jake is sick, so he's quarantined himself.
Yeah.
So this is a Based on a True Scary first. Me, Jake, and our special guest, who I will intro in just a second, are all recording from different locations. Jake, miss you, love you. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just shoved some Thai food in my face. I'm not sure if that's gonna help the sickness, but
yeah.
I did it. So that's here what, we are. Yeah.
Yeah. They say that helps, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Drink water.
The girlfriend said spicy food helps. I don't know if that's true, but.
Wow. Way to brag that you have a girlfriend. Wow.
No big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
Well, I usually just refer to her as Cora, and no one seems to know what that means. So.
But now
anyways.
Everyone knows. Everyone knows she's your girlfriend. So.
And I watched Jake eat spicy food through the microphone, and it was really gross.
Oh, God.
So you guys know.
Well, that's Austin.
Yes. The voice you were hearing, that sultry voice, is our special guest for this episode. He's a comedian, writer, and a firefighter who lives in Tucson, Arizona, right? That's where you live, Austin? Yes?
Yes.
Perfect. Yay. Welcome, Austin.
You did not
Thank
seem
you.
Happy
I've
about...
I've never been... What's that?
You said that you didn't seem happy about the Tucson call out.
I've just never been introduced as a comedian, firefighter, writer.
I mean, that's the
seems
triple
like a
threat.
Really, seems like a really bad combination for a horrible comedian.
Triple threat. I think you're doing great.
Thanks.
Well, speaking of great things, you suggested doing Fire in the Sky. This came from you, right? I mean, yes?
Yeah, it did. I regretfully will say that, yeah.
Yeah, no. you were pumped up about it, and... I don't know why, but...
Yeah, well, so I hadn't seen the movie in 27 years, whenever it came out. I think it was 93 or something.
Yep.
And I remember as a kid, I think it gave me nightmares for, like, you know, 5-10 years afterwards. And so I remembered it being this really creepy movie, and, yeah.
I mean, I knew of this movie as having, like, one of the most horrifying scenes ever, which we'll get into. And so I was really excited to watch it. And yeah, we'll get into whether or not that enthusiasm stayed. But yeah, so you nailed it. It's 1993. It was directed by Robert Lieberman, who went on to direct episodes of just like a lot of sci-fi and action TV shows. He did some episodes of The Expanse, Dead Zone, Dexter. Screenplay was written by Tracy Torme, who actually got his start writing for SNL, randomly enough. Kind of like... Do not see the comedy in this, but that's fine. And then he went on to write for Star Trek Next Generation. Oh, he did that show Sliders with Jerry O'Connell. You remember, that one? Decent sci-fi pedigree. Oh, a couple episodes of The Outer Limits. Budget for this was $15 million. It grossed $19.9 million at the box office. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 42% critic, 57% audience, which is pretty good, actually, for a horror film. Metacritic was 42%. Rated R, like, why? Hour 49, and then as for truth claims, so the trailer, poster, and beginning of the movie all say based on a true story. So they leaned in pretty hard. Yeah, guys, let's jump in. That's on fire
40,
in the sky.
42% seems a little high.
Yeah, I mean, so
I don't want to spoil anything for anyone.
Oh, we can spoil it.
Are we just missing something? Like, was it the time it came out? Was it like, was this like, don't get me wrong, those last 15 minutes were fucking creepy. Like, I actually wrote out down a note like, oh, I now understand why Austin had bad dreams.
Oh, 100%.
Right. Or nightmares.
Yeah, there was like 10 to 15 minutes of strong work, and then the rest is just like B-movie filler.
Yep.
For a movie that is about an alien abduction, it's 96% just... watching the town deal with it, and then like literally 15 minutes of alien abduction. That's it. Thanks for listening, folks.
Yeah,
that's about
it. I did not remember that part. I thought there was going to be more alien stuff.
I was waiting for aliens, and then actually we didn't get to see aliens until an hour and 22 minutes into the movie.
Jesus.
Yep. But we'll start. Okay, we'll start at the beginning. So yes, it's like in Arizona. Oh, it's actually in Arizona. Is that why you picked this movie?
I think that's part of the reason that it crept me out so much as a kid, because I was like, oh, that's only 4 hours away. That can
so
be
you
me.
Know you know where Snowflake is, Snowflake, Arizona, where like
kind of I know where the White Mountains are. Like that's where people used to go skiing. Yeah. And it's about 4 hours from Tucson, 2 hours from Phoenix.
There's a town called Snowflakes.
That's where this is set. Yeah.
Well, Snowflake. I just wasn't sure if it was made up for it. Like, is this for real?
No, I think it's real. I think it's Snowflake.
Oh man, they must have been upset during the whole Snowflake. How liberals are snowflakes. Yeah. That must have not been good for them.
That's the worst thing.
I don't know if that was a thing in '93. Yeah,
maybe not in '93, but okay, that's awesome, Austin. Okay, so yeah, so basically, it starts out we have these coworkers of a guy who was abducted by aliens, right? And they're driving in this car like a bat out of hell. They go to a bar to report that their friend was abducted by aliens. And these coworkers include, by the way, Henry Thomas from E.T., Robert Patrick from Terminator, and Craig Sheffer from Nightbreed, which I love.
Also One Tree Hill, just don't want to brag there.
Jake.
Name drop.
Why do you love One Tree Hill so much?
Have you seen it?
I actually have not.
Okay, well then let's just leave it there.
Austin?
How about that?
Wait, which character was that? The one that's in One Tree Hill?
He plays...
Oh, he plays Dallas, the bad boy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's like the knucklehead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to talk about One Tree Hill.
That yeah.
It'd be Keith.
I never knew that... I never knew about One Tree Hill until Jake told me about it and then wanted to start a podcast where we broke down every episode of the show.
He has.
And after like three episodes, I couldn't do it
like
anymore.
Gilmore Guys.
Well, speaking of podcasts that we wanted, so the main character of this movie, Travis, is played by an actor named D.B. Sweeney, he's like a character actor that's in a million different things. And I had the clever idea of starting a new podcast called I Am D.B. Sweeney and just watching all of his movies in order and reviewing them.
It's kind of like me and Austin's podcast idea, two white guys and Denzel, and we just watch Denzel Washington movies.
Clearly, me and Jake hate this podcast and we just want
to
do other
podcasts.
It's
time to branch out, guys. Yeah.
Just kidding. So, okay, coworkers, they are like, oh my God, this guy was abducted by aliens. Again, they go to a bar. I have no idea. They report it, and the cops bring in this like very sassy lieutenant who's never solved a case because this is a special situation. Oh, also, Austin, question. This takes place in Arizona. Why does everybody have a Southern accent?
Yeah, I don't know. They've always done that in movies.
What?
I feel like Arizona doesn't really have an accent.
No.
Although there are small towns throughout Arizona. Like, I work with some guys that come from smaller towns, and I'm just like, why the hell does that guy have an accent? So for some reason, I feel like the redneck towns in Arizona just picked up a Southern accent.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if that's true or not, but...
That makes me feel better. Does everybody also wear bolero ties, like this special lieutenant?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, by the way, that was a pretty sweet bolo tie. It had like three different pieces of turquoise on it. Did you notice that? It was
two
inches long.
Hot bolo tie.
Solid.
But then, okay, so bring in the lieutenant, and then essentially it's like the movie is a flashback of him getting abducted, and then like...
Very, very long flashback.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, 100%. We're introduced to Travis, who we haven't seen get abducted at this point, and they go out of their way to make him seem just like the sweetest baby angel. Did you notice that?
Right. He was so happy-go-lucky.
Well, he's dating what's-his-name's sister,
Mike.
But they don't clarify that till later. So at first I'm like, is he banging his daughter?
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Wait, can we first talk about when they first introduce him, how he rides his he rides his motorcycle like a dickhead. He just like he's just smiling and just goes through an intersection into oncoming traffic and almost gets hit by a moving truck, and then he just smiles and then hops up onto the curb and starts riding his motorcycle on the curb.
Oh, because he's such a sweetie, apparently. Yeah. He's a dumb sweetie.
I did write in my notes, Austin, do you look that cool on your motorcycle?
I like to think so.
Is this movie about you, Austin? You ride a motorcycle. You live in Arizona.
You're just gonna have to wait and see.
That's true. So yeah, he's like, is he engaged to Mike's sister? Mike is his like best buddy.
Yes. Okay. Later you find out they're engaged.
Right.
And you know, because he kept going, you're not ready to marry her, and like was very very intense about it.
It was all confusing. He was a little bit of a dick. He was intense to his wife and his children a bit much.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they just, so then we see them all go to work. Six grown men commuting together in one truck, by the way.
Yeah. Yep. And all acting like they're mad at each other, like they're in seventh grade.
Well.
Yeah.
There's.
Stop that. Stop that. No, you stop that.
And then there's the like weird feud between Travis and Dallas. So they're working, mm-hmm. they're trimming trees. These guys get into a fight and they just hold chainsaws in each other's faces.
Yep, they also
that was so weird.
They cut trees to land really close to each other, very safe.
Yeah, it was like in the middle of some like 90s movie tree cutting montage. The other guys were like laughing and holding piles of wood. And then all of a sudden you look over and the Dallas guy just cuts like a 30-foot tree and almost crushes Travis with it.
Yeah, he was
and Travis
a real
doesn't
dick.
Even flip out. He just looks at him like, hey, that guy's a jerk.
And
it's
then
like,
holds
he almost
a chainsaw.
Killed you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they hold the chainsaw to each other's faces.
But they're just palling around.
Yeah, like I feel like even in the 70s, that would have gotten a write-up or something. They're just like, oh, no big deal. Just get back to work.
Yeah, Mike is not leading his crew with confidence. That's inappropriate.
He's too worried about the mortgage, or kind of not worried about the mortgage. No one could be clear if he was worried about the mortgage.
Yeah.
Yeah. He brought it up a lot. That's for sure.
Yeah. And then, I mean, then they drive home. Then it's night, right? And they're driving home, and it's alien time. They, like, see the lights. I was so pissed. They say that it looks like a fire. I wanted them to say it looks like a fire in the sky so bad.
I know.
I was
waiting
upset
for that,
they
too.
Did not say that.
Yeah.
Such a missed opportunity. And then we see Travis just gets out of the car like an idiot. Everyone else freaks out. And then light comes, boom, and he down on the ground. Like,
that's it.
Yeah, and they gave him, like, he had a good 30 seconds where it was like he could have just gotten out of there, but he just stood up looking up like an idiot.
Well, I think my favorite moment was when the one guy, like, grabbed Mike's head and kind of put him in the headlock and was like, just go, just go. And I wasn't really sure what was going on. It felt really weird. I don't know if you guys remember that part.
There was a bunch of confusion. So, like, after, Travis gets fucked up by the alien beam of light or whatever, like, they're all arguing whether or not to help him or leave. And, like, Mike straight up is like, I'm not going to leave him. But then he just drives away. And then when they park later in the forest, he's like, we left him there. And I'm like, you drove. Like, you made this
That's
decision. It was, yeah, there was chaos. I almost feel like they were reading each other's lines.
Well, they also kept saying, he's dead, he's dead. How do they know he's dead?
They never even check for a pulse.
Didn't take a pulse?
Yep. Do you guys not know how this works? I mean, you have a dangerous profession. There should be rules and regulations in place about somebody getting knocked out.
Yeah, that's true. And then I like how once they do drive off, everybody's like, we're out of here. We're getting out of the truck. Once Mike insists on going back. And the one guy's like, we have to go back. And then Mike convinces him to leave. He's like, no, get out with these guys. And he goes back alone, which seems a little crazy.
And we don't ever see him. Like, that's the end of that scene. Then it's just, like, next day. Or no, then it just flashes to them telling the lieutenant, right? So we don't ever see Mike go back. Maybe
right.
He never did.
Yeah, I was hoping for more. Oh, and also, can we talk about the special effects a little bit before we move on? Because it was not quite what I remembered. Like, it was pretty good when they... It was actually awesome when they flashed him with the beam of light and he, like, his chest, like, jolted up. That was pretty cool. And I actually remember that from a long time ago. But then they actually flash up and show the UFO, and it looks like an above-ground pool, like, upside down with garden lights on it or something. It was
That's
so
probably
bad.
Probably what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
I don't remember that part.
It was not impressive.
All right, so now we're back, and the cops, they don't believe them at all. Or the one guy does, but the...
Well, yeah, they're like, you know, they've known these guys as a small town, and so the local sheriff is like, well, those are good boys, but special bolo tie lieutenant is not buying any of this bullshit.
Yeah.
And then we're just kind of, I mean, the bulk of the movie is... You know, they're looking for Travis's body. They obviously can't find anything. And it's just the town growing more and more pissed at them.
Yeah, I guess we could probably scrub through this pretty quick. Maybe just point out the parts we remember. But really, it is just like town doesn't believe them. There's a special. They won't do the lie detector test. They do the lie detector
right.
test.
Right. There was a lot of right? discrepancy.
Then they pass said test, but they won't tell them they pass it and just say it came up inconclusive. And then he gets a phone call. I don't know if I rushed through that too quick, Trish.
No, I think that's good. They all pass. One of them, Dallas's, is inconclusive, right? But they're like, whatever. I will say, in the diner scene, when, you know, there's like all the TV reporters and UFO specialists that like start up and start flooding the town and people are screaming at them. There's that scene in the diner where they're all fighting and Henry Thomas is wearing a Fleetwood Mac shirt.
No way.
Yes. Just super surprised they cleared that to be in the movie.
Probably didn't.
Also, I think we need to point out that Dallas is like the main suspect because the cops know that he got in a fight, right?
That's true. There's a small cut on his hand,
right?
Which means murder convinced all his friends to help ditch the body and come up with an elaborate alien story. Yes. Right.
That's why you bring in the big gun lieutenants so they can draw those conclusions. But then Mike gets a call in the middle of the night. I mean, is there anything else you wanna add there, Austin?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if this was the way they edited it, but it seemed like whenever they were describing what happened, they were so vague about it. Like, they were never once like, hey, it seems like he got abducted by aliens. They were just like, they were just so vague. They're like, he was there and there was a light and then he was gone, man. It's like, you guys are doing a horrible job of explaining
this. You're right. It's funny is they never say he was abducted by aliens, but the townspeople and the newspapers are like, are we supposed to be believing this alien story? You know?
Yeah.
So that was weird.
I actually want to rewatch
it. I don't know if they just edited it that way. They may have just edited it that way, like they didn't show us that part, but I don't remember them pointing that out.
No, I don't remember them saying the word alien ever, now that I think about it.
Maybe it was on purpose, like how George Romero in all his movies never says the word zombie.
I'm going to go ahead and assume it's not.
That's safe. I take that back.
But you know what? Who knows? Yeah. Then after all this, Mike gets a call in the middle of the night from Travis that just says he's in the phone booth in the middle of nowhere. I don't think he gives any details. So then Mike, his sister.
There's a gas station. That's all they know.
There's a gas station.
And first he was calling Mike's house, collect, and his wife kept hanging up on him. Wasn't that a little bit weird?
No. I think the first call was a crank caller, and the second one was Mike, actually, yeah.
Because they're getting all the crank calls because people are like, yeah, you murdered this guy and blamed it on aliens. So
Is it crank call or prank call?
I actually think I think both. Is it
both? Okay.
Yeah, I like prank, but yeah,
me too.
I think it's either.
Crank was that, wasn't that
the
like
movie.
A... it was that
Crank Yankers show?
Yeah, Crank Yankers.
Oh, there's a movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It was so Travis crank yanks Mike. that sounds like the porno version of this film. And then so Mike, his sister, who Travis is engaged to, Travis's brother, David, that's the guy with the glasses, they drive around until they find him naked at a gas station. And he's super thirsty. Guys, hydration is important. Again, remember.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is why it's strange that they called those UFO guys instead of calling a paramedic right away.
That would
or
be
the cops,
so,
or anybody
be a
else.
Second time that they, instead of going straight to the police, first time they went into a bar, the second time they called the UFO guys.
Right.
There's no like ambulance, 911, or anything.
And yeah, they're trying to get a urine sample, right?
Right, yeah. And then they get all mad. Like, what did you expect from these guys?
Also, if he's dehydrated, he can't pee.
Yeah, he hasn't drank water in 5 days. He's not going to pee.
Then they eventually take him to a hospital. But who knows when that was. And that's when he starts to have flashbacks. I got really excited. I was like, oh here we go. We're going to see the aliens. But it was very, very brief.
Because at this point, we're like an hour and 10 minutes in, and there's no aliens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole movie is just, which I got to say, a movie about freaking alien abduction, again, that's not, I digress.
Yeah,
it was like maybe 10 minutes of aliens.
Mm-hmm.
If that,
I would say.
Very.
Well, then there's the weird, so he's in the hospital, and he's very sad. He looks very bad.
He's fucked up. Something happened to him, for sure.
He went, PTSD, for sure. Went through some shit. And then Mike goes and visits him, and Travis is being all mopey. And so Mike calls him a son of a bitch.
Yep.
And then is like, if you never got out of the truck, this wouldn't have happened, which particularly brutal. Gonna go ahead and say that.
It's true, but probably not the best time to tell him that.
Right. No. But then of course he gets released and they instantly throw a big birthday party, like a big party for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been missing for 5 days. It's like, let's just throw all these people.
Maybe let the man sleep. Yeah. But and this party is ultimately what triggers him, I guess, that the maple syrup on his mouth triggers him to like the goo that was in his mouth. And then we finally get to see the aliens, which this scene was fucking incredible.
Shit dark. This is dark, man.
Oh, my God. Like, I loved it.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, just like the rotten person scene where he escapes the pod and then like goes through another pod and he's like inside a person, like
Was that?
Yeah, there was a lot of good goo. There's a lot of good goo stuff and like weird skin like rubber that like kept him in those pods.
Oh yeah,
that stuff was all super creepy.
And then
even this whole space effect, the fact that he was floating around was, I mean, was pretty decent.
Yeah, that's true.
You could tell he was wired up for sure, but like at least they tried.
I mean, the budget was $19.9 million for this movie, which I think all went to this scene.
The last it had to for sure.
Because what else? I don't understand what else it would have gone to. But then, I mean, even the aliens were super cool in the scenes where you could tell they were. I mean, sometimes you could tell they were people dragging him, but then at certain times they definitely looked like, you know, either animatronics or something.
Yeah.
They were.
That drag scene was forever, like. I felt like he walked 5 feet. He crawled 5 feet and got dragged like 2 football fields.
Yeah, it's like they just kept cutting back to the same scene of them just dragging. Like,
and they just inserted
out of that footage.
They like inserted different human collateral, right? Like there were glasses and a shoe to sort of insinuate, oh man, like this has happened before. And then they like, so they throw him on a table, strip him naked, and just fuck with him like a Clockwork Orange vibe. But on acid, so intense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was fucking awesome.
That part was actually, that was actually pretty cool. They put him in like, they put like a rubber sheet on him and then suck all the air out of it.
Yeah, it just kept going and going. It was like, and not in a bad way. I was just like, holy, I was on the train and I started to like look behind me like, should I be playing this? Like,
yeah, they put some thing on his mouth to keep his mouth open and then put some like weird drill or something into his throat, and then they put something on his eye like the Clockwork Orange thing. And they do some close-up where they like close in on him, and I was like, damn, this actually looks like an iconic scene from a good movie.
It's
just thrown in the middle of a shitty movie.
if anybody is listening to this who hasn't seen this movie, I don't know why you would do that to yourself, but you like watch that scene. It's incredible. I think you can find it on YouTube. It's so good. And then it's gone, right? Like it just ends. And, you know, we see the lieutenant who's like, it's still a hoax. Whenever they, you know, slip up, I'll be back.
Dick.
He was very smug.
Like, you think these people, like, you thought this guy starved himself for 5 days, got the whole town riled up, all for like a hoax for possibly some like money from a news story? Like, no offense, these guys didn't seem that smart.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, he seemed pretty hung up on that. Like, who are you trying to arrest at this point?
Yeah.
Like, what do they have to gain?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's also, I don't think we talked about this, when Travis is back in the town, he like approaches him, this is before the flashback, he approaches him in his car and is just like, oh, like you're a real celebrity now. And
right,
is a total
right.
dick to him. The dude has bruises on his eyes.
Yeah.
Like, give him a minute. And then we have this, then it just flashes forward, right? So Travis is married to Max's sister. He's got a kid. She's pregnant with a second kid. And then he goes to see Mike, who we realize has been living in the alone in the woods. And he
looks like Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, he
a
looks
little bit.
Insane.
Wait, hey, so can I clarify? Did Mike leave and never hang out with him after that argument in the hospital?
I think that was,
Doesn't that seem a little dramatic? Like some of your friend is like all fucked up and barely even there and just got abducted. And then you're just like, you get in an argument, and you're just like, that's it, I'm out of here. Like, you'd think you would just wait until tomorrow and then maybe talk to him again.
Seems like a bit of an overkill to me.
Yeah, he just goes and like pulls a Howard Hughes in the cabin and just grows a beard and hangs out by himself for 3 years.
Yeah. Terminator 2 Liquid Man did not look good with a beard and scraggly hair. Like,
oh, that's who that was?
Yeah.
Never put that together.
Patrick, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
There's no way I would have ever known his name.
Just
that's fair.
T2 villain.
That's good to know. I love that movie though.
That's a good movie. And then, so then they have this moment. They go back to the spot where it happened. They make their peace and they apologize. And that's it. Then they just, they do the little cards, right? They say that Mike and Kate divorced, and now he did carpentry and construction for a little bit, but then he went back to tree trimming on the Mogollon Rim. Do we know where that is? I'm very bad at geography.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I bet you it's somewhere where there's a forest. And then Travis and Dana live with their four children in Snowflake, where he's a foreman at the local mill. And then the last is that in February of 1993, Cyrus Gilson, who is the local cop, redid the polygraph for Travis, Mike, and Dallas. And this time they all passed.
And they underlined all. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yep. Very exciting.
Yeah, I noticed that. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Fire in the Sky.
Yeah, that was something.
It was a little weird that the aliens dropped him back off in his hometown. Like, everyone else just dies in these pods, and they're just like, we're just going to drop this guy off in northern Arizona. Doesn't that seem a little weird?
Just 15 miles away.
Yeah, but...
Well, that's what I didn't really get. They were like, is that what happened? They dropped him off? They were just like, here, we're done with you. Because all those other bodies seemed like they were... Well, they've been there forever. I guess they didn't really explain it, but...
Yeah, I wish they would have explained that.
Yeah.
I could have used some more.
Anyways, we'll probably cut all that out, but...
I mean, I gotta say, like, the movie was really boring, but that last scene was fucking amazing.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of wish it was a short film.
Yeah, like... It feels like they grabbed a Lifetime movie or whatever, like, the men's equivalent of that is, and just... took that and just put some alien stuff in it.
Basically.
Because the rest of it was so bad.
It was just a lot of drama. Dude, drama.
Yeah, it just felt like a drama with aliens at the end.
Yep.
I don't know if it was me. It seemed like it could have been good. Like, the premise was there, but it just needed a better script and acting.
Yeah, there needed to be
everything.
More.
Yeah.
And actually, it had a really good cast, you know?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
I thought it was acted well. I think it was
when you got an actor from One Tree Hill, you know you got a good cast.
Jake.
Yeah, everyone That's else true. Steps their game up when they see him walk in, for yeah. sure.
I just can't believe that you go, especially you, go One Tree Hill over Nightbreed, man.
I didn't. That's not exactly how that played out. let's clarify that.
We'll clear the air.
Anyways,
guys, should we go into the fact checking portion? Are you ready to learn? Knowledge is power.
Let's do it.
Okay, Jake also does not do any research. At this point, we're just going to chalk it up to he's being totally lazy. But I think it proves for more fun. Listen.
Yep. I'm liking this. Me not doing research.
I didn't do any research either.
Great.
So.
Good. Okay. That's Good. The goal. Yep. So we'll pit you guys against each other, old friends fueling this rivalry. Okay, Austin, Jake, we're going to start broad here. Do you think that in real life, a man claimed to be abducted by aliens in front of his coworkers?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It is true.
Nice.
So this movie is actually adapted from an autobiographical book called The Walton Experience, written by Travis Walton. So even the name is the same.
Nice.
Yep. Travis was a forestry worker. And on November 5th, 1975, he was driving home with his six coworkers.
Oh.
Huge
all
difference.
All in one car?
Apparently all in one car. Yes. Nice. And six of them. So that's seven people.
What? I believe in Arizona, you're allowed to ride in the truck, like the bed
yeah,
of the
you
truck.
Yeah, you can. They consider you cargo. You can just ride in the bed.
Oh, well, that would have been harder to shoot, but makes more sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Now we know why they did five.
That's probably what was happening.
So this was just right outside of Snowflake, Arizona, where they claimed that it was in Turkey Springs. They encountered a saucer-shaped object hovering over the ground. They said it was approximately 110 feet away from their car, and it was making a high-pitched buzzing noise. So then Travis claims that he got out of the truck, approached the object, and a beam of light or energy, as he described, suddenly appeared from the craft and knocked him unconscious. Then the other six men were super scared and they drove away fearing for their lives. So we'll get more into that, but that's true. Ish. So they say. Okay.
Oh, we don't get to guess that one.
Well, oh, there's more. That is true. Oh, okay. That really happened.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this did seem like seemed like a typical UFO sighting story.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go. Okay, we're gonna dig a little deeper. So, in the movie, the townspeople, you know, after hearing this claim, basically all turned on those coworkers and accused them of murder. Do we think that that's really what happened to the town of Snowflake when they said that Travis was missing?
I'm gonna say no.
I'm gonna say yes.
Ooh, divided. Jake, it's true.
Yep. Damn it.
Yeah. So the coworkers reported it to the police, and the town, similar to the movie, they conducted multiple manhunts to find Travis's body. Obviously, there was no body. And then as the days went by, people became super suspicious, and the town was in a frenzy and suspected all of them of murdering Travis, or at least being involved in some capacity. So, and again, they had all lived there their whole lives. So it was naughty.
This is getting better than our past couple films where they just completely take the truth and just twist it and add things that make no sense.
Oh, well, we're not done, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I'll shut up.
No, it's fair. It's fair to point out, Austin, the other ones that we've done. After An American Haunting, I will never believe a film again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, some movies are just, it's batshit. But, okay, moving on. So, in the film, Travis has this weird feud with Dallas, and he kind of becomes the main suspect. Do you think that in real life, there was a particular coworker that Travis had a feud with that people suspected more than the other ones?
You go first, Austin.
I'm going to say no again.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, Austin gets this one. It is false. False. You guys are tied. So, yeah, nothing on that. No narrowing down to one coworker or anything. That's just movie magic. So, okay, let's talk about the loot.
So there was no face-to-face chainsaw scene then, probably. Yeah.
Sadly, no. Sadly,
also, I don't think that's how you use the term movie magic, but... That's besides the point.
It's movie magic. Script magic.
Anyways.
I can use the term movie magic however the fuck I want, Jake.
Yeah, sure, that's right. Sure.
Magic comes in all shapes and forms.
Wow.
Yeah, it does. So, okay. Bringing on a special lieutenant. Do you think that this case was so interesting and unique that the local cops had to bring in... a special lieutenant to work on it?
I'm gonna say no.
I'm gonna say yes.
Oh, Jake, you got it.
Nice.
Damn.
Yeah.
There's just no way they're bringing in someone like a special investigator for an alien abduction.
Well, they did.
Yeah,
well,
that's a good point.
Yeah, that's fair. I was gonna say they did for, you know, the town that dreaded sundown. They brought in that guy, but to be fair, people were getting murdered left and right.
Yes. So and also not by aliens.
Very true.
Yeah.
Don't know if they wore bolo ties, but you know.
I hope so.
God, I hope.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Me too. All right, let's do lie detector. So, do you think that all of the coworkers were forced to take a polygraph test, in which they passed?
This is a weird one. I don't know. Like,
I'm gonna say yes.
I want to say yes. Because, like, it is a good way, like, during that time, they relied on it. But I'm going to go with no.
Interesting. Well, you're wrong. Bad choice.
Damn it.
Austin gets it. So, they had them take a polygraph, and it was actually exactly like it turned out in the film. All of them passed, except one of the coworkers were inconclusive.
At the end of the movie, they said they retook it. I should have.
That's true. They said retook. Yeah, that is true. No. But you don't know.
Do they not do polygraphs anymore? Is that not a thing?
They do, but they just don't really hold up in court.
Yeah,
anymore.
I think they figured out that I think they're really easy to fake, and also they're just not. They're not good.
Right.
All right. Okay. How about UFO specialists flooding the town? So, you know, in the movie, there's all these reporters and like guys from UFO news outlets that book up the motel. Do you think in real life there was this frenzy that happened?
Oh, that's an easy yeah.
I'd say yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of true. It's not like it was depicted in the film. I don't know if they were overcrowding the town, but the manhunt did get national attention because it was just so absurd. And then additionally, Travis's brother-in-law and his older brother contacted multiple UFO research groups, held interviews with those outlets, and they even contacted one group from Phoenix called the Ground Saucer Watch. Don't know if they still exist. And they, this group offered to help them. They advised Travis and his brother that if, or Travis's brother, if he ever returns, to take a urine sample and bring it immediately for a medical exam. So that's kind of like what happened in the film, right?
Yeah,
I thought that was interesting. So pretty true.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Like, what are you going to, what, you don't know.
Yeah, there's no special test that tests for aliens in your pee.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder what they were looking for.
Alien DNA. Okay, how about this? We see Travis calls Mike 5 days later and is like, I'm at a phone booth at a gas station. Come pick me up. Do you think that's how they found Travis in real life?
I'm going to say no.
You're saying no?
Yeah.
I feel like, why change that? So I'm going to go with a yes.
So I'm going to give it to Jake on this one. It
seems
it's,
like you would have just called 911, but I would think. You,
well, there's a lot.
Well, this is layered. So it's mostly true. It's I'll give it half true. So you guys can each get a point.
All right.
So it was actually Travis's brother-in-law, Grant Neff, not Mike, who received a midnight phone call from Travis asking him to pick him up at a payphone outside a gas station roughly 16 miles from the abduction site. Him and Travis's older brother drove out and found him. He was naked. They said he was 12 pounds thinner and had a huge scraggly beard. He was shocked, scared, hungry, and could not articulate what happened to him. So they brought him home. They did not notify the police. And instead, they drove him to Phoenix in the morning to meet up with that ground saucer watch and talk to a doctor.
What the fuck?
Yep. Jesus. And then they brought the urine and everything. And upon arrival, they were like shocked and duped because they found out that the doctor, whose name is public, by the way, Lester Stewart, it turned out he was not a medical doctor. He was a hypnotherapist.
Oh, no way.
So shocking. They were like, yeah. What the fuck? And then additionally, the Snowflake police were super pissed because they ended up learning about Travis's return just through the media multiple days later. They had no idea that he was actually found, and they still had an open missing persons case on him. So these guys just like took him to a weird doctor in Phoenix and like alerted the media that he was found and never told the cops.
So I feel like they should got in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Right?
These guys are actually, so they're actually made them smarter for the movie, which didn't seem possible, but.
Right. Right.
100%. Unless this was all just a ruse to,
right,
get,
big ruse
to get attention. Okay, moving on. So we see in the movie that Travis, he can't remember what happens until he goes to that party, and then he gets this crazy flashback that of what happened to him. Do we think that in real life, he just sort of had a flashback in the middle of nowhere to remember what happened?
I'll say no.
Oh, God. I want to say, I say yes.
It is false.
Oh, damn.
Nice.
So, he was unable to remember it, but the hypnotherapist, again, from the Ground Saucer Watch, so a UFO interest group, after working with this guy, Travis was able to recall what happened to him. So, he wasn't...
Oh, like, got it out.
Exactly.
Of him.
Never had flashbacks, but, like... Oh, he also, by the way, he never went to a hospital like in the film. So there were no, you know, having these flashbacks of being on a table or anything. It was just the UFO hypnotherapist.
Okay, so but wait a minute. So that means if he never went to a hospital, that means there's no real proof that he didn't have water for 5 days. He wasn't bruised and blah blah blah. This was all just.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes, this is what he recalled, and you know what, you know, he was dehydrated and he was gone for 5 days. We know that because, you know, 5 days later he was called, and then,
right.
Yeah, but ultimately,
but he could have been in a hotel somewhere for 5 days.
100%. Yeah. So this is from his, what Travis is saying, and then he's claiming that his memories came from this UFO hypnotherapist. Nice. That's what happened. So let's talk about what happened to him. So, you know, in the movie, he's like in a pod and he's dragged around and there's this super violent exam. Do you think that that, you know, is a relatively accurate portrayal of what happened to Travis on the ship?
I'm going to have to say yes, just because I mean, maybe they made it a little bit crazier, but I mean, overall, that sounds like what people always say happens to them on UFOs, right? Like it, like probes and shit like that.
Probes.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I honestly thought I remembered the movie having like some sort of anal probe. I seriously thought I remembered that.
But I was expecting an anal probe. I'm glad you said something. I really was.
Like I'm not joking.
You didn't want to bring it up.
Like, yeah, I just wasn't sure if it was. Oh, you know. I just wasn't sure. But there was the point where they cut to like what looked like a probe. I'm like, that's going up his butt.
Ugh.
Okay, now that I say it out loud, I see how that sounds weird, but.
Okay, you're saying...
I mean, that probably would have been better than his... They just jammed it in his eyeball. It looked like,
that's true. So. That's true.
God. So Jake's saying true. Austin, what do you think?
I don't know. The vacuum-sealed rubber stuff, I'm going to say no.
You're going to say false?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The best part of the movie was basically bullshit. It was false.
Oh,
I know.
Fuck.
I know.
Jesus.
So, in fact, the filmmakers were open... about exaggerating this park because they found Travis's actual report, quote, uninteresting. So let me go ahead and tell you, here's what Travis claims happened. So he woke up in a hospital-like room aboard the ship, and he was being observed by three short, bald creatures. And I have a quote, "I was looking squarely into the face of a horrible creature. It looked steadily back at me with huge, luminous brown eyes the size of quarters, and there were three of them." He claims that he did fight with the creatures initially, and then one of them, who he said was wearing a helmet, led him into another room. Then he blacked out right as one of the creatures put a clear plastic mask over his face. And then the next thing he remembers is he woke up by himself walking along the side of a highway, and the flying saucer was departing him from above. That's
pretty boring.
That's the story.
Also, giant eyes the size of quarters are not that giant.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like silver dollars, maybe.
Did you?
Yeah, that's like normal size eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not weird.
Also, the aliens in the film, they had small eyes, but it was really creepy. I thought that.
It was.
That looked super cool.
Well, the space suits had like the normal alien looking eyes. I do like that. He's like floating around and he grabs this suit you think's an alien and he's like, space suits.
Oh, like, yeah. Like he was like happy-go-lucky Travis again, yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, that was interesting. Okay, so now we can just do the little last cards at the end of the film. So, do you think that Travis ended up marrying Mike's sister Dana, and then that Mike got divorced, but eventually went back into logging?
Yeah, I feel like that's true.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. Yeah.
So yes.
Yep. Small towns. People get married to each other. And then, yeah, that is what happened. And then lastly, do you think that they retook the polygraph in 1993 and all passed?
I'm going to say no.
I'll say yes.
All right, Austin gets the last one. Yes, so nice. But there's a caveat to it. It was all publicity for the movie.
Oh.
So, the studio arranged for the local cop this is the guy who examined them originally, by the way. They got Mike Rogers, Travis, and then one other coworker who I don't think they ever named who it was. They took the polygraphs and they all did pass though. But it's like also who the fuck knows because this is just publicity.
So, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's
it. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then
I actually kept track this time. Austin, you won by a lot.
Yay!
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you don't get anything, so yeah, you're lucky.
Yeah, I'm curious how big this movie was. But they didn't make that much, right? What was it?
No, so it grossed. Oh, I'm sorry. I said that the budget was $19.9 million originally. That's what it grossed. The budget was $15 million. So it did. I mean, it made its money back, which is good. But
I remember it was like a big deal to me, but I think it's just because I was obsessed with aliens at that time for some reason. So I thought it was big, but I guess it wasn't.
I mean, I actually don't know.
I will say I mean, it's sad this movie wasn't that good, but like, I am now going to go read more about this whole thing because it's all really interesting.
Oh yeah, and there is a decent amount. You can rent Jesus Christ, you can read the book Fire in the Skies. The book is actually called The Walton Experience, which also very egocentric.
I hope it's as good as the movie was.
I can only imagine. I have a few more notes though. So obviously most people consider this to be a hoax, right? Created for financial gain. And there was a researcher named Philip J. Klass who he looked into it, and he says that there's multiple discrepancies in the accounts of Travis and all of his coworkers. And then he also reported that the polygraph tests were poorly administered and that Travis was using techniques and countermeasures such as holding his breath. I guess there's like ways that you can pass polygraphs. The National Enquirer had a long-standing $100,000 prize for anybody that can prove that UFOs were real. And they contacted Travis and his brother and were like, if you guys can pass a lie detector test, we'll pay you. So they took him up, and the examiner from the National Enquirer described the results as, quote, the plainest case of lying he had seen in 20 years of experience.
Wow, damn.
Yeah.
And from the Enquirer, too. That's pretty sad.
From the National Enquirer. So there's lots of, and if you guys want to look more into this, you can see like all of the people who have sort of broken down why this is a hoax. But there are still a lot of people who believe it, and I think to this day it's considered the most credible source of a UFO abduction.
Really?
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of sad.
I'd be a little more into it if Travis was found and taken to a hospital and they're like, yeah, he's been fucking poked and there's all this crap wrong with him, you know? Like, I don't know why I just corrected myself from saying shit, but something's happened to him. He hasn't had water in 5 days, but instead we just heard he went to a hypnotherapist and or whatever you call him and just kind of told him what happened. Like, I don't know.
Or maybe if they found some sort of, you know, like matter on him that they couldn't identify or something, you know, like
right
something like that would be
anything.
Right. No, we just, I mean, I think the reason why this one is more credible than others is that you have 6 eyewitnesses,
right? And they all could have just been doing acid.
Totally.
And one just had a mental breakdown or something.
Yeah, it's not looking good for these guys.
No.
I wonder how much money they ended up making, if any. They had to have made some.
I think they made some, yeah. And like, we know that they were not financially well off to begin with, so they had motive to kind of make this story up, right? Or they were abducted by aliens. Yeah. Who fucking knows?
It's true.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed.
Oh, don't be
disappointed. Have you seen how Travis Walton looks like?
Oh, he does not look like D.B. Sweeney. I'll give you that. Yeah, go ahead and Google it.
Okay. So, that was the movie.
We can go to our ratings. Right. So, Austin, we like to, now that you know the true story, we can go through and give this film a rating based on how accurate you think they portray the real story. 0 through 10 out of 10. Jake, how should we qualify this one?
1 out of 10 anal probes.
Anal probes, sure. Yes. Yeah. You can do 0. You always say 1 through 10. I think 0 is an option.
I've never heard anyone use 0.
0.
Like, it's always just 1 through 10, right? Or am I crazy?
That's fair.
Austin?
I think so. I think I've always seen 1.
You could say 0 if you want.
Yeah, that means it's really bad.
It's hard to say on this one, though, because since it seems like they just all made this up on their own.
Oh, totally. Right. But how well do you think they portrayed the lie by these coworkers? Jake, do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah, Jake, you do it.
I'm gonna give it an 8.
Wow.
Because I know, and this is weird for me because I usually am pretty against it, but like they minus a few things, they kept to the facts, and even the whole story of him being abducted, like, you know. They probably just took it and ran with it, and as Trisha would say, used some movie magic,
and made it
a little crazier. But I mean, overall, just the fact that everything about it just seems like they tried to keep it along the story. So I'm gonna give it an 8.
All right, yeah, that's true. You kind of convinced me a little bit. I'll give a 6.5.
Nice,
6.5.
Okay.
I'll split down the middle a little bit. I'll give it a 7.5. I think, like, I mean. yeah, they basically got all the details right, except for everything about what happened on the UFO, which, since that was like the most interesting part of the movie, I'm gonna, like, you gotta dock some points for that, I would say.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So I'll do 7.5. Yeah.
But, cool. But pretty good. Should we do what we thought of the movie?
Yeah, how would you rate this movie just in general, Austin?
Like out of 10, or if it like a Rotten Tomato score?
1 through 10 out of 10. I'll say 1 now.
Oh, man. I'd have to give it like a 4.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
I'm giving it a 1 because I'll never see it again.
Oh my god. That scene was amazing.
Yeah. Okay, fine. I'll give it a 2 because I'll go back to YouTube and watch the last 15 minutes. Cool.
I'll agree with you. Okay with I approve. Austin, I'm with you. I'm going to give it a 4. I think that,
yeah.
Oh god, that scene was fucking
It's all
so
because
cool.
of that scene, yeah. I think. And the beginning scene was all right, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Plus,
yeah,
it had,
where he first
know.
Got the flash of light. Like, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. It was kind of fun.
Wait, Jake, so if a movie's a 2, you'll go back and watch a scene? Like, a movie could be a 7, and I'll never see it again. So I feel like you're...
No, okay. That
scale's a little rough.
But that's not true. That's not true. If a movie's a 7, you might not want to go see it again. But if it's on, like, cable and you're at my house or something, you're probably going to watch it.
Oh, I see.
Like, okay. A 2's, like, a definite, no, I'm not. I will change the channel.
Right. I see.
I hope that makes sense.
That's fair.
So much
fair.
Sense.
Yeah.
Well, Austin, thank you so much for doing this. Is there
thank you, sir.
Is there anything you wanna say to the people of the world while you have a microphone in front of you?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. And I guess, I don't know, just keep believing.
That was good.
Perfect. Yeah. On that note, thanks for listening. Keep believing.
Keep believing.
we'll see you guys soon, I guess. All right.
All right, later.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.